following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 29. Today's record date is June 10th. I'm Gradle.
And I'm Jason.
Alrighty, we're going to get started by, as we always do, by jumping into what we've been doing, and then we're going to head into news, because if you're listening to this show, then you know that E3 is going on, and the game news is flowing mightily. So, Jay, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
What have I been doing this week, I guess? I've been playing a lot of Star Wars Galaxies Emu, and I've been updating my computer as usual. And honestly, I got a Mac from work for a little while. It's an old Mac, late 2010s, but it has an NVIDIA card in it. It has an NVIDIA 320M in it. So I put Boot Camp on it, put Windows on it, downloaded Steam, downloaded Star Wars Emu, and put a few games on there. You know, like a Black Ops. It'll actually run Black Ops, the original. So I put a couple of first-person shooters on there, like Global Assault and Black Ops. And then, I just put a Emu on there. Now, I think it might run SWTOR, so I might stick that on there if I get a chance.
Right.
But I'm just kind of filling out, because I'm tired of taking my personal computer back and forth to work, you know.
Sure.
And so I figured, you know, if I was gonna have a work computer, I might as well, just in case I get trapped somewhere, make sure I have some games on there. So but that's what I've been doing. So what about you?
Well, for me, a little bit of the usual. I've been playing BioShock Infinite. You know, last week I told you guys I had just landed on the Finkton docks. I've been into the gun shop. You know what I'm talking about if you've played the game. So of course Elizabeth has opened the Terror, and we are heading to the alternate Columbia. I've also been playing WildStar. So you've probably heard all the horror stories and the naysayers and whatnot. A lot of that's been hammered out. For me anyways, the game's running great. I have a tune on a server called now that I have to name that server, I totally drew a blank. Storm Talon. Now that still has a little bit of a queue, because that was a server that it didn't exist in the beta. But if you had a tune in the beta, that's one of the two servers where your tunes ended up. So all of the open beta, all the closed beta guys are on this server, and so it's kind of got a queue to it. But that's going okay. As usual, I've kind of played a little too much and kind of got the burnout. So stepped back from WildStar for a little bit, jumped a little more into Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn. I was telling Jay before the show, it's just kind of clicked for me right now, and I'm enjoying it. I'm playing a gladiator, and I can't remember the name of the city that they start off in, but she's I can't remember the name of the races, but she's essentially the big not human, but the bigger race of humans, the more stronger fighter types. So my plan is to, I believe, take her to a paladin. And those are the Final Fantasy equivalent of your sword and board fighter types, your tanks. So, been doing that. Let's see here. I've also played a little bit of Team Fortress 2 on Steam, a Valve game. If you enjoy team-based, you know, PvP shooter type things, Team Fortress is great. I've talked about it a lot. You know, it's very comedic, very tongue-in-cheek. Some of it's just flat out just funny, and that's how it's meant to be. So, that's a fun one. I think if you look at my Raptor profile on Team Fortress 2, I want to say I have almost 300 hours or almost 600 hours in this? I can't
remember. God, really?
Yeah, I've been playing it for years and years and years.
Like, I was totally in I was in a clan playing Black Ops, and I had 305 hours, 308 hours. You got like double that.
Oh, dude, I played so much Team Fortress. Let's see here. And finally, as I put in what I've been doing this week, and Jay and I were talking about this before the show, I uninstalled Guild Wars 2. Yes, sir. You know, I've talked about this on a couple episodes ago. I had issues. Someone tried to hack into my account. They, you know, reset my password. I had trouble getting it reset to where I could use it. It took literally 15 days. So what happens? Today's Tuesday. I think it was Saturday. I got an email. Someone with an IP address located in China has tried to access your account. And once again, I'm locked out, so I'm not going through that crap again. And, you know, long story short, 60 gigs later, free on my hard drive, here we are. So, you know, and I've told Jay, I've scanned my hard drive so many times with all the various things I use. Jay, being the IT guy that he is verified that I'm using good stuff to scan with. So, you know, all I can come up with is that it's ArenaNet. They have to be the ones getting hacked. Or, I don't even freaking know at this point. So screw it. I'm done. No more Guild Wars for me. Just moving on.
Well, and that's the problem. Their model is that your entire, and a lot of models are entirely based off of email. And once you've attached a name to an email, unless you change one or the other, then there's absolutely no way for you to stop someone trying over and over and over again. Once they've verified that that's your email address, they can screw you over and over unless you physically change your email or physically change the name. And it's inconvenient if it's a primary email for you or a billing email.
Right.
So, you know, that's just something that they're never going to fix unless someone comes out with a better way, like a PayPal for the internet where you have an interim, you know, third party. So that's, and it pisses me off too, by the way.
Well, and you know, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I don't think you can change your account name, which is your email address. You know, it's essentially...
Yeah, it's locked.
It's locked per CD key, i.e., bot version of the game.
And that's what I'm getting at, they should, if your account's getting hacked multiple times, they should offer, hey, we're going to go ahead one time, make a secure transaction from you to us. We are going to let you utilize a different email. We're going to give you a different key, and we're going to render that last one completely inoperative.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's bullshit is what it is. I don't get it. And you know, I've been scouring the web. I've been scouring the forums. They don't even offer what are they called? Like a security key, like a randomly generated every 10
seconds.
Yeah,
the security key. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't offer that crap. I don't understand it. I don't get it. The App Store, the Apple App Store. I found a security key for WildStar. I found a security key for Square Enix for, you know, Final Fantasy.
SWTOR.
Yeah. Now these two, WildStar and Square Enix, you have to download the app to do it. But yeah, SWTOR, WoW, even EQ, Sony, you can buy the little fobs, $5, and you get the little deal. Randomly,
or you
pop
can download
the button,
the app.
Randomly generated, and there you go, you're done.
Yep.
You know, what the hell, ArenaNet? What's going on?
Well, I mean, I think it might be part of their business model, because if they're not going to offer a way for you to do that, if they're not going to charge a monthly subscription, which they're not, we know they're not, then once you buy the game and your account gets hacked and they basically drive you off, but they've already got your money, so.
Well, you know, and there again, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that they're thinking, well, you know, if you want to play that bad, you'll buy another game, another copy.
Yeah, screw you.
Yeah, that's just whatever, man. I'm done with it.
I know, I lost my play buddy, but that's okay. Screw Guild Wars.
Yeah,
too. We'll play
SWTOR. Honestly, if the game ever drops to like one of those Steam, you know, summer specials, like $5, maybe. But you know, it's still like $30, and I'm not gonna. I know it's, you know, buy to play, but screw that. Because that's probably just going to get hacked again, too.
There you go. So you said because you're wide open to get hacked again.
Yeah, so screw that. All right, let's move on to news before I have a coronary. All righty, right now, today is day number one of E3. For me, you know, I love E3. I think most gamers do in some form or fashion. We have all kinds of news, press releases, talks, panels, and... What I really look forward to are the new trailers and release information. So today is day number one. Of course, we had some press releases yesterday. And, you know, honestly, I was thinking about this upcoming episode, tonight's show, and I was like, oh, man, E3, so much goodness, so much goodness. But, you know, point number one, it's only the first day. And there's been a lot. Don't get me wrong. There is a ton of stuff that's been released. Two, there's just way too much of it. You know, if we were doing like a 3-hour show tonight, we might be able to cover what's going on. So what I decided is maybe just grab a few of the highlights. You know, E3.com, IGN, all the developers are streaming their press releases, their trailers, head to YouTube, Twitch, live stream, all kinds of places to catch up on some of this. But like I said, I thought I would just kind of hit on some of the high points and we'll let you guys do the digging. Not that you have to dig very hard or very far at all to find what's going on. So I put some things in the show notes. Jay, do you know anything? Did you have anything you wanted to talk about before?
No, you snatched up my Assassin's Creed.
Well, you know, and that's fine. Let's talk about that because I don't know much about it other than the title and apparently where the game is set.
In Paris, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know that they're never going to go to any industrialized, you know, societies. Basically, what they're looking for is the pre-steampunk stuff. Mm-hmm. And you got to find, you know, exciting eras to make that stuff happen in the, you know, France at that time. The time period that they've chosen at this point is a really exciting time. One of the first releases they've already hinted at is going to be the Chemical Revolution, which we know, you know, France was one of the leading places to go for your Nobel Prize picks. It was, you know, the farm team. Being out there specifically, it looks like they're going to have a whole bunch of, rather than go steampunk, they're going to have, you know, like area effect weapons that are chemical based. It looks like, or at least it looked that way. Okay. And it's going to take on a twitch. They could have, you know, early nerve agents and things like that. They've hinted and teased, but they haven't actually said anything that I can see yet. Right. And then they've also got the giveaway that they've started every Friday. And through the giveaway, and the reason I'm mentioning it is not because I think that that's the most important thing. That the giveaway is how they mention what you're going to be using, you know, in the game. Mm-hmm. So you see, you know, axes, spears, you know, double-bladed bardishes, mahogany hunting rifles, over-under pistols. So it's very cool to see where they're going to be going with all that stuff. And it looks as if the multiplayer is the real element in this game. So it went from being more of a single player with a multiplayer element to this one. Looks like they're going to focus on multiplayer. So I can't wait to see how that's going to stack up now that everything's cloud-based. Because we were talking about this, about 8-10 episodes ago, mm-hmm. where we were saying we were impressed that Titanfall had offloaded its video graphics capability to the cloud. What else would they do? Well, multiplayer is just really a huge aspect of, you know, I don't want to say modern games, but let's just say multiplayer can't be ignored anymore. And right. the negatives that came along with multiplayer, lag, how many you know people can be in one multiplayer session, you know, player caps and things like that. It looks like they're going to be addressing this, and even with the graphics intensivity, I don't know, is that a good word? Mm-hmm. Graphics intensiveness.
Yeah.
How hardcore your graphics are. I don't know how to say that. Yeah. All of that is being addressed in the game with a game where you can actually see a bead of sweat rolling down their face. To have 8 players at one time. In the game, that's fairly impressive. Now, it's nothing like Titanfall, but the whole point is Titanfall is a multiplayer game that crammed a single player campaign in there. We both know that, you know, Ubisoft is not ever going to go that route. They're as committed to their single player as they are anything in multiplayer. So for them saying multiplayer is going to be equal as important, I can't wait to see how this turns out, because they're not going to make a bad game. They're like what's BioWare? They're like BioWare. They just don't produce bad games.
So I wonder what multiplayer in Assassin's Creed would be. Would it be all of you against, a foe, a common foe, or, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Are you stealthing around trying to take out other assassins or what? I wonder what.
I'm hoping that it's going to be more, sort of like the original BioShock. You remember how you had multiple ways to complete a level? Mm-hmm. Where you could use your what are they called, the little placids, what are they called?
Plasmids,
thank you. You could use the plasmids to get, you know, like a BioShock ability, and you could electrocute something to cause it to short out, or you could get the fire thing and just go head on, or you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Multiple ways. Well, I'm thinking what they'll do now is I'm leaning towards, it looks like they're going to have more customizable characters, because what it looks like is there's a lot more weapons. It's not going to be the same weapon for everybody. And with the multiple choice of weapons, a spear for long or possibly thrown ranged combat, an axe for up close, looks like tanking, and then a pistol for absolutely ranged combat, or a rifle for ranged combat, or a pistol for up close, ranged combat. I guess that's what you want to call it. It looks like you're going to be able to specialize your character. So it looks like working together as a team with specialty weapons is going to become part of gameplay. Now, I'm making that assumption,
right,
not having seen enough of the game or the trailer at this point, because the trailer hadn't released when I got off work yet.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to release today. So, ooh, that was lightning.
I can hear the thunder.
Yeah, we're having a storm down here in Alabama. It's not a good thing. But that being said, I can't wait to see the trailer. Love Assassin's Creed, and oddly enough, have not played Black Flag yet. Can you believe that? I've played all through 3, and I've downloaded the content, but have not played the Freedom's Cry, I believe is what it's called. For 3.
Uh-huh.
It's like basically, I think you play a female character.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
And it's its own kind of standalone thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it uses the engine from 3. But I haven't played 4 yet because it was just too expensive earlier in the year, and I was supposed to get it as a Christmas present. And then my wife and kids are like, no, we'd rather get you this. So that being said, until it gets down to like $29.95 and I can just, or I can turn in something else, which I haven't finished 3 all the way through the storylines. Like, basically I've used Assassin's Creed a lot like you do BioShock. I want to play all of it. Or the other one that you like, Mass Effect.
Yeah.
I want to play all of it before I turn it in. I may not even turn it in. That's the reason I want to play all of it and buy, 4. So not having played or finished 4 yet, I really can't say 5 is going to be super duper, different in multiplayer, because I haven't played multiplayer on 4. So, but hopefully, awesome.
Okay, so let's see. Another little high point that I thought was kind of neat. Well, relatively speaking, Star Fox is coming to coming back to Nintendo, and will be available for the Wii U. So if you've ever played Star Fox, just because I don't think there's a whole lot out there for you Nintendo fans, but hey, Star Fox is coming back. They showed using the handheld Wii U, and that's like your cockpit. You spin it around, you can look around and everything. So yeah, that's kind of cool. Also, we have a release date for The Witcher 3, a game that we've talked about quite a bit. I know, can't wait. February 24th, that game will drop, and I cannot freaking wait.
I thought it was sooner than that, really?
Well, yeah, it was. But, as is apparently the case with everything's getting pushed back to next year.
Oh, yeah.
Batman Arkham Knight has been pushed back to 2015. We don't even have a, quarter one, quarter two estimate.
Oh, good
at all.
Lord,
it's
really?
2015, yeah. Let's see here. Also, now I did watch, not all of it, because I have no interest in FIFA and Battlefield, but I watched most of EA's press conference from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was full of some awesome goodness. They teased Mass Effect 4, and they showed a really good trailer for Dragon Age Inquisition. BioWare games that I freaking love. Can't wait for these new standalones, of course. But check it out if you're a fan of either one of those. Like I said, the Mass Effect is just a teaser. But the Dragon Age, they show a little bit of gameplay. What they show is your party fighting one of the dragons, which is cool. And you also get to kind of an intro video to meet your party members. And if you've ever played a BioWare game, you know what I'm talking about. Your crew that changes in and out. And, new interaction, new stories. And as they said, new people to fall in love with.
Yes, master. Do you want me to kill him?
Do what? Say again.
What's the HK90? HK94? Is that him? Yes, yeah. Master. Meatbag.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he was a romance option.
Darn.
All right. Let's see here. Also, I have a link to this in the show notes, and it's one of those videos that I just freaking loved. The IGN staff, you know, IGN.com, they have some of their staff members playing Alien Isolation. They do this just so, and what's fun, just so you can see really truly how freaking scary this game is. Now, you're probably, oh, whatever, man. Dude, I'm telling you, this game is horrifically scary. So what they do is they bring their staff members into this little room where they have an Xbox, I believe, set up. No, a PlayStation, because you see on the screen, press X for this. But so anyways, they bring them into this room, they turn off the lights, and then they kick on a night vision camera to, of course, film the cast or the crew members or the staff members as they play. In the upper left corner, you see the monitor, so you see what they see. And it just, you know, clip, 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 clip to different people and their reactions to stuff. It is
little
freaking
puddles
horrific.
They make.
Oh, dude, I mean, they jump, they scream, they're yelling, they're cussing. You know, I've talked about it before. I'm a fan of Dead Space. And, you know, that game has me screaming like a little girl because it's...
but, amen, brother.
Alien Isolation looks so much more scary. Now, it's also great because Amanda Ripley, you know, Ellen Ripley, Sigourney Weaver's daughter, that's who you play. It's first person, of course. You're on one of those... Now, you're not on a... you're not on a deep space mining vessel, but you are on a similar type ship.
Oh, so, is this taking place during the female wars?
I don't think so. I don't know. But... you know, Ella or Amanda's walking around, so as you walk into certain areas and they power up, you hear the old dot matrix sound from the original Alien movie. Right, as the stuff powers up, the screens on the various computer consoles are monochrome. You know, if you're under 20 years old, boys and girls, that means the screens are green. So you see all the green console or green screens laying around. It looks like you've stepped onto the set of the 1978 Alien movie, and it is freaking awesome. Now, what's horrifying about the game is, of course, there's a power issue. Lights are off. Lights kick on. You have your motion tracker from Aliens. Bloop, 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 and it shows the little dot. And, of course, there's a freaking drone loose on the ship. And I'm telling you, man, it is horrific because you're just a person. You're not a Marine, you're not a specialist, you're not whatever, you're just, I think you're a scientist. That's all you are. You don't even have any weapons. And you have this alien hunting you, actively hunting you on the ship. So there are times where it'll show up, you have to duck under a table. You hit like the select button to hold your breath so it doesn't hear you.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude. I mean, you got to watch this video. There's a link in the show notes. It is freaking scary as crap. But I can't wait for it because it is Aliens. I'm a huge fan.
Yep.
So that's about all I put in the show notes for E3. Like I said, it's only day one. There's tons more to come out. Two more days. Check out the various websites. And, of course, we'll have more E3 news next week for next week's episode. Let's move on. WildStar Online, which of course I've talked about and I'm playing today, their CRED system went active. Now, CRED is an acronym, and honestly, I do not know what the acronym stands for. It's CREDD. Long story short, what this means is think EVE Online. You can spend Plex. You can spend real money to buy the CRED, or you can spend in-game money to buy the CRED. You can turn in the CRED for 1 month of game time. So, you know, their example is, you know, money's a little tight this month. Well, just buy a CRED and get your 30 days of game time. Of course, you know, some people use it also, buy it with real money, sell it on the marketplace for in-game currency. Just, you know, get a lot of money essentially in game. Because with WildStar, if you've played it or seen it, you have to buy your skills. You have to buy everything. I mean, and it's stuff is expensive. I have a medic, a ninth level medic. To my person, I have, I think, one gold and essentially 50 silver. And it runs off the classic, you know, copper, silver, gold. Well, my skills right now are costing like 50 to 70 silver a skill. And I have three of them that I can't afford because I've got to, you know, buy other stuff. So if you have a few extra bucks, your cred's the way to go. If you want to play and don't have the cash, cred's the way to go. But there again, just something that popped up today. All right, we're going to jump into a little bit of Star Wars news. And we're going to talk about something in SWTOR. Then Jay's got some of the Star Wars Galaxies emulator news. I wanted to talk about that a little bit. But today in SWTOR, patch 2.8 or update 2.8 dropped. That is the... what did they call that? They called that the... I can't remember the sub name for it. Gamerfell, Hostfell. But essentially, it's a hut event. Takes place on Nar Shaddaa. Of course, there's the usual patches, nerfs, updates, blah blah blah. But it's a huge casino event on Nar Shaddaa. Now I've heard the guys at Utini Cast talk about it, and frankly, they said it was boring as crap. Spoils of war. There we go. They say you essentially just walk into their casino, the Hutt's casino, and you play the games. That's fine, whatever. The cool thing is you do have a chance to actually win a Rancor mount, which that would be really cool to run around on a Rancor, as well as casino-themed outfits, which I guess means maybe something tuxedo-ish. I'm picturing tuxedos and sparkly cocktail dresses, maybe? I don't know. But like I said, the guys at Utini Cast said it was boring, but there we go. They've also said that between now and, 3 weeks time, there will be twice the fleet comms and credits for Galactic Starfighter. There will be regular Bounty Hunter events, and there will be an upcoming Gree event, as well as double XP over the 4th of July weekend. Some new things coming to SWTOR. Like I was telling Jay, I've seriously thought about jumping back into SWTOR. So, you know, this might be something to draw me back in. Alrighty, so, Jay, you know, you heard the thunder earlier. He's got a thunderstorm going and lost power, knocked him off, but he's back. So,
Yay, technicals.
Okay, so yeah, so SWTOR, that's going on. We have all those extra things dropping, the bonus XP weekends. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I've thought about jumping back into SWTOR. Might have to check some of this out. Any interest in SWTOR, Jay?
I do. I love SWTOR. Always have. Will continue. To me, it's the spiritual successor of SWGMU, or SWG, excuse me. But, obviously not the direct descendant. So,
right.
That being said, they're heading that down that road so far. They're trying really hard, and they're trying to cover all their bases while they're doing it. So, never been mad at BioWare for doing what they're doing. But that being said, the difference, like, if this would have happened in SWG, what you would have had is a player-built city with people coming to gamble in the player-built city, and the devs would have worked with us on having like a player event around that. And that happened multiple times, really. We had our own gambling machines in our own casinos, and as people spin it, we got money off of that as players. So that's where the games kind of changed. And actually, we would have probably given them, you know, as you know, created, because the entire economy was sandbox like Eve.
Right.
There would have probably been, you know, like they would have come and spent their money. The devs would have had a couple of AT-ATs show up and Darth Vader try to, you know, raid the place. And then, you know, or if it was a player held city, you know, it'd be the other way around. You know, rebels would show up and screw up everything. But that being said, and there's multiple events that we had like that, but the money would have gone to the people who hosted the event, and they would have, you know, probably dished out a few prizes, and everybody would have gone home happy. And, you know, big post the next day. But that being said, SWTOR, the fact that the economy is still game-driven, it's cool that they're giving around a Rancor mount. That's freaking awesome, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what? In lore, I believe the last mount riders for Rancors were the Force Witches, which is actually, yep. I think, supposed to be like Luke's mom or something. That's how they tried to work it in the books originally, before Lucas rounded out the series, you know? You find out that Luke's mom was a Rancor witch or some crap like that. So that's pretty cool.
Well, and then he recruits one.
Oh, you know, does he? I didn't see that one.
The Jedi Academy trilogy. Yeah, he recruits one to come to the academy with him. But yeah, and I was saying, you know, I can't imagine running through the fleet or something like that on the back of a Rancor. That would be awesome.
That'd be freaking awesome.
Alrighty. So Jay was telling us a little bit about the Star Wars Galaxy emulator. He has some news on that. So let's just keep the Star Wars rolling.
Oh yeah. So everybody's listen to this, knows that I'm a big Galaxies fan. Always have been, and really can't wait for SWGMU, which is a community-based revamp of the Star Wars Galaxies engine and servers. Basically, they took the clients as they were sitting at patch 14 before the NGE, and said, "Okay, we're gonna recreate that game because we loved it that much." And so they've recreated their own servers. They've put out the client, patched the client. And basically all you do is you take the abandonware disks of the original Galaxies, you put it on your computer, and then you download their launcher, and their launcher makes a completely separate, you know, folder, subfolder, using just the files they need from the disk that you've downloaded, and they patch you up to their most recent version. And they've got two completely different servers that they do this on. They've got a test server and a live server, and the live server has a cap of 3,000 people in any one time, and the last two times I've looked, they've been at 2,000 and 2,100 minimum every time. So I mean, that's pretty good population, being that it's just one server. I mean, they've got some big worlds, but a lot of people might remember the you know, dying breath of Star Wars, where they had, you know, Mustafar and Kashyyyk is fully fleshed out and all these other places. Right now, they're doing it chronologically, how the patches were released by Sony, you know, and Star Wars, the SOE team released them. And it's all the way up to, I believe, episode 8, I believe. Hold on. No, published 6 and 7. I'm sorry. That's the roadmaps. So they're up to the published 6 checklist, and they're currently working on published 6, which is droid engineers and tamers, pet tamers. So like what we were just talking about, the Rancor, you can actually tame one of those as a pet in the game. So that's pretty cool. And the way they did it, you have to go around and get genetic... this one's a direct tame, but you can raise one or you can tame one, I think is how it worked. And with the droid engineers, obviously you have to build the droid and design it, and then... you know, you can build them different ways. I remember I hated the droid bots. They'd build these little explosive droids that'd come towards you and blow up, and that'd be it, you know? Little jihadist droids. But,
gotcha.
it's a really good game right now. They're concentrating on bringing a lot like what I was praising SWTOR for. They want to make sure the game is bulletproof on the stuff that's already been released. So 1 through 5 has to be bulletproof before they really want to move on to 6, but they're on the road to 6. Bounty hunting has already been opened as a profession. You can hunt other players in this game. You know, you can call out someone griefs you. You can actually take credits, call out a bounty on them, and then have that person, you know, just steadily stalked. I remember more than once sitting in my house not wanting to go outside because there was literally a bounty hunter waiting outside my house on me. And we'd have to like get friends to come out there and either clear him or pull him away. And, you know, you have to use Arakeed probe droids and stuff like that to find people in the galaxy. You launch it and it may or may not find the person. And if it finds him, it'll tell you what planet it's on. You got to go to that planet and track them down. So it's actually a lot of fun. And then, you know, you have normal NPC bounties that you have to go collect. And you get all this from spy net operatives that are scattered everywhere throughout the game. And as you increase your level, they've also incorporated the first part of the Jedi, where you have to, you know, do the Datacron grind, the Holocron grind. So for some people who are probably rolling their eyes right now, no, not again. The village is live, so you have to find the village through the mist first of all. And then once you get there, you got to start the Holocron grind. So all good stuff. Mounts are working. So, you know, we've got the speeder bikes, the swoops, the X-34s, stuff like that. JTL, Jump to Light Speed, is on the horizon, far off, but on the horizon. They've already started incorporating the code into the game, and you can watch stuff on YouTube where they're just testing it, you know, in obviously an open alpha. But none of it's live yet. They have all the terminals where you can build the different parts of the ship. But anyway, I could go on for hours on this. I'm not going to. But the point being is check them out at swgemu.com. There's the forums, and they teach you how to get into it. And, you know, they're always accepting programmers. So if any of the people listening to this is good with programming, especially in C, I believe, in C Sharp, I believe that's part of what they're programming on. And they've got a bug tracker and everything. So check them out, please. This is what we miss.
So, as usual, I have questions. So, you know, in all honesty, I'm a little interested in checking this out, but I think when I played Star Wars Galaxies, I downloaded the game, so I don't have a disc.
Yeah, you can get them. You can get them online. People are selling them for like $5, and they'll sell you the entire set. It's the 3-disc set from Sony Online, and believe it or not, they're still in the. The old software, because it's considered abandonware, but because Sony still owns the rights, there's nowhere for you to download it online that I know of, and legally you still have to own a copy if you want to play SWGMU, and that's how they get around it. As long as you own a legal copy of the game, you're allowed to emu anything you want to.
Got you. We have a pretty big chain of used bookstores called Half Price Books in the area. I wouldn't be surprised if they have the software, but
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. You know, I played a game that does something like this, and it was a Star Trek game. It was called Star Trek Armada. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah, I've got Armada still, yeah.
Okay. So, now, Armada 2, actually, is what these guys did. Of course, same thing, abandoned game. But, of course, Paramount, you know, all the crap with that. But the same thing, if you have the disc, it'll load the essential files off the disk, and then you download their updated, currently maintained version of Armada 2, and you can jump back in and play the game.
That's wicked.
It is wicked. I love that game. That's if you don't know Star Trek Armada, it's a any kind of real-time strategy, but with the ships of Star Trek. So you have your builder ships, your builder shuttles. You have to mine asteroids for resources, you know, space docks, all that stuff. So that's a great game. I love that game. But
you know, Star Wars had something like that too called Star Wars Rebellion.
Yes, they did. Yes,
and
they did.
That was pretty cool too, because you could even tell, you could control the conflict, or you could let it do AI and watch and see what happened. Like if you had two fleet battles going on, like if you put a fleet in an area and another fleet came at you, you could either tell it, you know, I want to control this fleet and then actually control the things, or you could just leave it alone and watch to see what happened.
Now, which rebellion was it where you would summon special units? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's like, the original. Yeah.
Is that the original? So,
yeah, that's the original.
So on a cooldown timer, if you were Imperial, you could summon Darth Vader in his advanced, you know, TIE Fighter Advanced. And he would fly onto the screen and just destroy everything.
Yeah.
I remember that, and I remember Han in the Millennium Falcon for the Republic. But I don't remember the Rebellion, I guess, but I don't remember exactly what the others were. And I remember playing the campaign of that and having a tough time with the ground campaign.
It depends on what how you had built up to that point.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, see, that was another game. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, you know what? I know that Rebellion is on Steam, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's even cheaper on GOG.
Probably would be, actually.
You know what? I forgot to put this in the show notes. Did you see that GOG is thinking of implementing their own Steam-like service? Did you see that?
Well, I mean, I'm already using the one where they download and keep you synced. What else are they talking about?
I don't know exactly, but they say they want it to be more like Steam. So I'm guessing once you buy the games, they'll store it so you can download it at any time.
Maybe keep a cloud version of your save games, I guess.
Exactly, a cloud version of that. Maybe the social aspect of a friends list. And you know,
I could see that. That would work for them, you know.
It would, and you know, they're cheap. Most of their stuff is cheap anyways. So you know, if they also take that aspect of the summer sale or the fall sale, yes, please.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Take my money.
Yeah, I'm still reeling from my last couple purchases from them. It wasn't much, but it was all my extra cash.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you say that, I've been meaning to get Alpha Centauri. And
I knew you were going to say Alpha Centauri. You got to get it. You've got to get that.
I know. Yeah, because they're actually talking about Civ Beyond Earth at E3 this year, so they're supposed to have some info on that. Well, anyways, all right. Back on track, we're going to wrap that up on news. We're going to move to geeky stuff. As usual, Jay's keeping us abreast of geeky stuff, and I am dropping the ball. So it's all you, Jay.
Not so much. This one's something for both of us. The Drinking Quest tabletop RPG game. Mm-hmm. Basically, it is a boxed set collection of the trilogy that had been produced up to this point by this particular studio. I could give you the name if I hadn't asked myself that question. It's at drinkingquest.com is where you can actually find it, by the way. And I'm trying to get the guy's name because I've always got it wrong. But in 2011, they brought out the original Drinking Quest RPG. Basically, what happens is you got a card set, right? Which is your quest, you know, plot line, and the cards are the DMs, because you're going to be drunk. So they want somebody who can actually continue the game right up to the point where you pass out. So they've got a series of quests here that also include encounters and things that you have to do, you know, individual parts of the story arc, and environmental effects. And basically, you take the role of a character progressing through a story plot. And, it's without telling you outright what some of these cards say, it's kind of hard to understand. Let me give you one of the cards. Drinking Quest, Hungover Goblin. Yeah. You see a hungover goblin stumble out from under a pile of leaves. Perceiving you to be a threat, he attacks you with all of his strength he can muster. And it has the hit points, the attack, the defense, and then how many coins you get and the XP you get from completing the quest. And basically, under the new version, instead of using 3d6 for everything, they've got d4, d8, d12, d10. You know, the basic D collection that you have from dice. And they've also included the original game, plus the other two expansions, which were, when I saw the names, I was like, you got to be kidding me. No, they're actually really named. The first one was, the first sequel was Yeti Vetter's Yeti Adventure. And the second one was Nectar of the Gods. So basically what you're looking at is a game where when your character dies, you have to chug. Yeah. And in the end of the game, the person with the most points wins, obviously, just like in any role-playing game. But it's sort of like Cards Against Humanity, if we've ever talked about. Have we talked about that on here before?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the RPG version, and you basically draw, you know, these cards out as your characters progress through the game. And what makes this different is they have the initial, I think, 22 CAS gets you the digital copy of the game, and then 25 gets you a digital copy of the game, and you get the digital Drinking Quest comic book, the wallpaper, the rap song with MC Lars and I forgot the other guy's name. Jason Anarchy, and then you're eligible for all the stretch goals later. But really, you probably want the physical copy of the game, which I do believe is 45. if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
44, yeah. Excuse me. 44, you get a physical copy shipped anywhere in the U.S., and most of our listeners are probably U.S. people.
Right.
And you get all three copies of the, you know, all three games under one roof. And I believe they said if they make their stretch goals, which it looks like they're going to make their stretch goals of up to 18, that they're talking about producing two more 12-card adventures. Or excuse me, three more 12-card adventures, which is 36 more cards added on to the game itself, which they'll send to you, obviously, if you make the, if they make their stretch goals. And this is just nights and nights of fun and laughing and drinking with your friends. And me, you know, I'm not like, you know, passing out kind of drunk guy, but this is the fun thing to do. Once you get past 18 and you still play, you know, RPG games, it never fails. Someone's going to bring beers, you know. Some people still do the Cokes and stuff like that, but somebody usually brings a beer because later on in the night, so you just want to chill out, especially if things are getting kind of grindy. Right. And this is the kind of thing where you can just say, you know what, let's just have a night of beers and RPG. And this, it's just hilarity will ensue, I promise you. Oh, did I steal his line? Am I going to get in trouble for that?
That's all right.
Go
ahead.
I don't want to steal anybody's tagline, you know?
That's funny. Yeah, this is on Kickstarter. Do you have the Kickstarter pulled up, Jay?
I do, actually. It's, Kickstarter.com. Huh?
I was going to say, read the biggest Kickstarter. So, you know, $25, $50,
$5. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Yep.
So, if you, it's $25, obviously, starting off digital, and it scrolls down all the way to $4,000. If you do $4,000, he gives you everything in all the previous tiers, and he will tattoo your name directly onto his body.
Yes, he will.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, that man's got some nards.
I'm trying to find it as we talk, and I can't, but there was, I believe, either a Facebook posting, but I think it was more of a tweet that was going back and forth between him, Jason Anarchy, and one guy who was like, hey, if I do this... Essentially, the guy said, hey, if I kickstart the $4,000, you know, will you tattoo my name on your schlong? And he was like, the guy was like, my name's pretty big, so you got to be packing. Yes. It was hilarious. I can't find it, but yeah, it was a really funny exchange. But yeah, $4,000 and he'll tattoo your name on his body.
Permanently, you will have your name somewhere on somebody. So there you go.
That's right.
Haven't met Jason personally, but you know. You know, somewhere out there, my name is sitting on his skin, and he will never forget me.
That's right. That would be great. That's hilarious. All right. Last little bit of geeky stuff, Jay.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who have not watched The Will Wheaton Project, we're on episode 3 as of tonight, I believe.
Yep.
Is that correct? Tonight at 9 Central? Is it 8 Central or 9 Central?
It is 9 Central. That's right.
9 Central. There you go. So if you have not watched The Will Wheaton Project, watch it. I'm not going to say definitely anti-Will Wheaton, but I was definitely going to ignore Will Wheaton and anything that he did until Gray here said, Jason, you need to go read about this guy and see what he's actually gone through and what he's done. So I did, and I went back, and I have changed my mind completely. I wouldn't mind him coming over to a birthday party, you know, but you know, I don't think I'd get him drunk, but definitely bring him over to the birthday party because this guy, he is really funny. And last week's episode with Felicia Day where they were playing How I'm Gonna Die,
yeah,
that's really funny stuff. So if you haven't watched it and you've got on demand, try not to use your data, but you know, watch the on demand of catch up to the Will Wheaton Project on Sci-Fi Channel. Like I said, 9 o'clock Central. It's worth watching. It's only 30 minutes and it shows just how funny he can be. I think Meet and Gray, we talked, said that, you know, he's still hitting his stride. I believe it, but just his opening remarks, the fact that he makes fun of Game of Thrones and Salem every week is enough for me to watch it. So,
right.
What do you think about it?
Yeah, I do like it. Like I said before the show started, as with anything, you know, the first episode or two is always a little rough. They find their stride, but yeah, he's kicking it in. Of course, it's Will Wheaton. He's used to hosting stuff. Yeah, you know, we're recording it tonight. We'll probably actually just watch it as it airs live. But yeah, it is a great show. I guess it's kind of a clip show, but not just internet clips, because of course he talks about TV, like Jay said. So he, you know, as he says, as Will says, he just kind of talks about all things geeky, nerdy, whether it's TV or movies or internet stuff. It is funny. Check it out. I'm enjoying it. It is good.
Good stuff.
Very cool. All right, guys. I think that's going to about wrap up tonight's episode. Thanks for listening and tuning in. Blacklace will have all of our contact information on the way out. You can contact me on Raptor, Steam, PlayStation Network under Teletech 77062.
And you can contact me on Steam, Raptor, and PlayStation Network under Jason, JaySynn. Feel free to shoot me if you see me standing there looking like an idiot.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Y'all take care.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.